You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Today is Mission in Motion. Debbie and I were in Charlotte last weekend. We were speaking at a church anniversary event. And it was fun, it was wild, it was great. Our friends Sam and Rico, Apostle Sam and Dr. Rico Wagner, are out there in, 16 years of mission. He was a state trooper for 20-something years. He's got stories and stories and stories and stories. That dude's pulled over everybody. So... Yeah, they're just a fun family, and our other friends from another church who are all part of our HIM family, Dexter and Jeanette Howard came out, and we met a new, I was going to say young, she's really not young, she looks young, she's 46, prophetess from California, Tamara and her husband. It was a great time. But we were supposed to fly home Monday, and we knew the storm was coming, and so we kind of scrambled in our minds on Saturday saying, okay, I'm speaking Sunday morning. There is a Sunday evening meeting, but we could just fly out Sunday afternoon. And I kind of just landed on, you know, storms don't change our mission. You know, circumstances don't change the mission. Difficulty doesn't change the mission. And so if there was an assignment before I went, there's still an assignment even if a storm comes. And so we elected to stay, understanding that there was some sort of assignment that the Lord had for us, which I think was some of the meetings that we added on Monday. But we ended up going to the Billy Graham Memorial Library because we'd heard about it. And I didn't have high expectations because I thought it was a library. You know, we're going to walk around, I don't know, look at Billy Graham's books. I don't know what it is. But there's actually a multimedia tour that you walk through. And there is an impartation that happens there that is beyond. And you walk through the life of a man from the point that, you know, he of his salvation into his upbringing and all the way through. And you begin to see how a man laid down his life in evangelistic love. And from that fruit came that sometimes we make the fruit the goal. And the Lord is bringing correction to his church. And one of the reasons that he's bringing correction to his church is because we have focused on fruit as the goal. The goal is the face of Jesus. The goal is the Great Commission. The goal is the gospel of the kingdom. But for those that believe, signs and wonders will follow. For those that believe and walk in his word, you will grow in favor with God and man, just as Jesus did. But growing in favor with man is not the goal. It's a fruit. And so an unintended consequence of this idea of reformation is that we have created perhaps a people or a group of leaders that are addicted to influence rather than his face. And I was so impacted watching a man who never really wanted influence. He said he prayed more before he had like a media interview or as much than he did for any sermon. So I think there was a picture of him in the CNN office praying. And I was so impacted by what happens when we truly let love take over. And he said, you know, at the end of his life, one of his last interviews, and he was asked, what would he do differently? And he said, I would travel less. I would speak less. And he wasn't talking about the evangelistic crusades. He was talking about the Christian conferences that would, you know, fly him in to speak to, you know, people who are already saved. He's like, I would do less of that. I wouldn't stop the crusades, but I would stay home. I would pray more. I would meditate more, and I would love more at home. And the very last, the last film, you sit in this room, and they tell you before you go in. They say, look, if you have to leave, you have to go out this door. You can't go out that door. And the very last video is a salvation call. And then the doors open and you literally walk through this opening that takes you through the foot of the cross. I spent, they tell you that the tour takes about an hour and a half. We were in there close to 4 hours because there was such a heavy atmosphere of the presence and the call and the heart of the Father. I was like, we've got to soak up every ounce of this. You got to understand, like, that's not my thing. Walk around, look at things and memorabilia and all that. It wasn't about that for me. It was about what the Spirit was communicating through it. And as we walked through that cross, man, it was everything I could do to not break. And frankly, I just didn't want to break. I don't, because when I cry, it's an ugly cry. Like, it's not, like, I have those moments where the little tears come, but I was on the verge of, like, snot, cry, like, everything coming out of orifices on my face. Like, I didn't want to go there. But it set me up so much for this weekend to understand, what does it mean to put mission into motion? And what do we want to be known for? You know, I've talked about this a lot. Like, you know, I think sometimes in our stream of churches, we want to be known as the prophetic church, or we want to be known as the signs and wonders church, or we want to be known as the church that, you know, has an inn with the mayor, or no, we want to be known, one, as the people who have been with God. But the word says, John 13:35, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if what? You have love for one another. Why? Because love moves. It's not an emotional experience. It's something that we receive that puts us into action. So what's the big idea today? Love is not a feeling. Love moves. Love is what puts mission in motion. And every week you walk in and we see at the Bridge Metro West, our highest ranked value is simple. It's love. It's not the production, although we work on that. It's not the platform, although we built that. It's not performance, although in a sense we do that. But it's love. All of those things flow out of love and they flow into love, and it's our response out of love that causes us to act week after week. But here's the tension. In our culture, love has become a word we feel more than a word we live. I'll just keep it local here and say, you know, people might say, I love this church. I love the worship. I love the community. You know, we've had conversations for years, like even my sister and myself, about, you know, what does it mean when someone says, oh, I loved worship today. As a worship leader, people would come up to me, oh, I loved worship today. And I thought, well, what does that mean? Does it mean that we played your favorite song? Does it mean that you got goosebumps? Does it mean that we touched heaven and heaven touched earth? Yes. So biblically speaking, love is not validated by what we feel. Feelings come and go, and they do. I mean, any married person could probably say that. I've met maybe two couples my whole life that at least indicated that their feelings never faded. Thou shalt not lie. I mean, I don't know. The one guy was real mad. He was like shaking his head at me. I was like, okay, it's cool, bro. Like, I honor you. But I understand feelings come and go. Love is revealed by how we move, not how we feel. Feeling can be the catalyst. But what happens after the catalyst? Now you have breakthrough. Will you follow through? And so today on Mission Emotion Sunday, here's the truth. Love that isn't on the move yet actually isn't love. It's self-based, it's inward focused, and it misses the point of the gospel. So let's walk through a few points about love and mission and motion. Number one, love is the mark of a disciple. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Who's a disciple of Jesus here today? That's pretty good. Jesus didn't say in John 13:35, they'll know you're my disciples because of your theology. Because of your church attendance, although show up. Because of your knowledge. He said, they will know you by your love. Love is what drives you to show up, even when you don't feel like it. Love is our witness. You know, in New England, and maybe in a lot of places, but I would say definitely in New England, people are not impressed by church language. You know, we call it Christianese, and I'm not anti-Christianese. I mean, the reality is that the entire New Testament is written in Greek Christianese. It's called Koine Greek. It was the church kind of hijacking the language of the day and sort of making it their own. We've always done that, so I'm not anti that. But we have to understand that New England isn't, they're not impressed by our Christianese, but they are moved by authentic love. And the world is asking, is it real? Real love shows up. Real love moves toward people. Real love takes responsibility, and real love serves. Number two, love always expresses itself through service. Now, as I was reviewing this last night and this morning, I don't like to use the word always because we do that a lot, and we often say that it's always this, and it's usually not always that. But at the end of the day, love without service is not love. If you say you love your spouse, but you never serve your spouse, then it's not actually love, it's convenience. Maybe it's a relationship that's a security blanket or whatever the case may be. Love expresses itself through service. Galatians 5:13. You can turn there if you're fast or just write it down. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You cannot separate love and service in Scripture. Jump forward to 1 John 3:18, or write it down. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Biblical love has fans, it has hands, it has feet, and it has sacrifices. In our context, like, we don't sacrifice like goats or, well, I mean, sheep. I'm thinking Africa. We don't do that anymore. I think in our culture, one of the biggest sacrifices that we bring is time. That's the hardest one for me. Sacrificing financially, sowing aggressively, radical generosity, I can do that all day long. But time, like, if there's anything that wants to be an idol in my life, it's time. It's hard, man. When I make a plan and I have this idea of how the day is gonna flow, and then like someone shows up or that, you know, something happens, it's like I get whiplash. It's like, what's happening? I have this to do. No, it's about people. And I began to think about this a lot more because, you know, I was in a conference meeting a year ago or so, and one of the leaders in the conference said, you know, I think a lot of pastors are lazy. They just don't work hard enough, or they don't. Essentially, he was saying, you're not busy enough. And I thought, yes, but maybe you're busy with the wrong things. Because in our pursuit of a call, we can actually forget people. It's a challenge. So Jesus, he demonstrated this. He didn't just say, oh, you know, I love you with an everlasting love. He washed feet. He fed crowds. He touched lepers, and he went to the cross. You know, in some streams, it's all about, you know, prosperity. And like, I'm all in on blessing and prosperity, but we cannot have a theology of prosperity and blessing without a theology of suffering. Because the reality is, as you pursue Jesus, that pursuit might actually lead you to a cross. And are you still willing to follow if that's where he leads? That's what love does. Love moves toward inconvenience. Ooh, I'm just driving the dagger into my own life right now. And here's the shift for today. We don't serve because we need volunteers. We serve because we love people. And serving is love and action. Number three. Love builds kingdom family. That's the last letter of the word verb. We've been doing these verb gatherings. It's what we value. It's how we engage. It's how we reach. And it's how we build. Love builds kingdom family. Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. I'm not going to read it, but you can write it down. It gives us a picture of the early church. They weren't just attending gatherings, they were sharing life. They were breaking bread. They were praying together. They were meeting needs. That is kingdom family. And family doesn't function just on spectators. Family functions on participation. If you love your family, you contribute to your family. Right? At the Bridge, it's not that much different. Home groups are love moving deeper. Hospitality is love welcoming someone in. Greeters are love removing awkwardness. Ushers are love creating order. Prayer teams are love fighting battles. Worship and tech teams are love creating space for encounter. Outreach teams are love stepping into our greater community. Children's ministry teams are love shaping the generation that is here and those to come. And I probably missed some. But you're going to learn about them today at all of these tables. Every team is an expression of love. And that doesn't mean that you have to feel warm fuzzies every time you walk through the door. But I promise you, if you are faithful, even when you feel kind of junky and you show up and you serve and you love, you're going to get some warm fuzzies by the time you leave. You know, I've gotten better. You know, back in the day, especially as a worship leader, a lot of Sundays I woke up and I was like, oh, I got to go do this. But I never left regretting that I showed up. I can tell you, I have never left a meeting in this house regretting that I showed up. There's been takeaways every time, whether it's a Sunday morning or it's a leader meeting, a board meeting, whatever the meeting is, I'm telling you, I have never regretted showing up. Number four, the evangelists are going to like this one. Love reaches beyond the walls. You got some people who say, oh, we just need a church without walls. We need it. No, we got to go beyond the walls. Yes, we do, but we also need walls. Because that's what a shepherd does. A shepherd brings sheep into the fold where they can be fed, cared for, developed, and then released back into pasture. And then brought back in. But love reaches beyond the walls. Matthew 5:16 says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your what? Your good works. Somebody say good works. And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Good works actually glorifies God. Love is not meant to stay inside this building. Love reaches schools. It reaches neighborhoods. It reaches workplaces. God loves reaching the hurting. And greater community is not a slogan, it's actually a calling. And a calling requires movement. If we truly love Metro West, we will move toward it. Love crosses streets, comfort zones, and again, inconvenience. I wanted to edit that out so bad. I struggle with that. So I'm just gonna move on. I'm not gonna talk about it anymore. Number five. Holy Spirit, do your work. There is a danger of passive love, if you could call that love at all. But we'll just call it for what it is. The danger of passive love. Here's what can quietly happen in church life. We receive love. We experience love. We enjoy love, but we never release it. And when love only flows inward, it eventually stagnates. Instead of a river of living water flowing out of your belly, you got a swamp that's contained within it. Proverbs 11:25 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. When someone comes up to me and they're just, oh, I'm so dry, I'm in the desert, or I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going through trials, go water someone. We used to have two services, and there was one particular person that would corner me in between services almost every Sunday to tell me how bad their life was. And eventually I said, you know what? Go pray for somebody. I just stopped. I was like, I'm not hearing this. Go pray for someone. You know what? This person actually started doing that. And after about 1 month of just consistently me saying, go pray for someone else, the countenance began to change. Instead of me telling me, you know, how bad life was, she was starting to tell me testimonies of what happened when she prayed for people. If you're feeling dry, if you're feeling destitute, if you're feeling under, water someone else and watch what God does in you, but also through you. Love multiplies when it moves. Some of you are waiting to feel more connected, but connection comes after contribution. Some of you are praying for everywhere I go. People are praying, what's my purpose? I want to know my purpose. I'm like, it's real simple. It starts there. Purpose follows participation. And this isn't just biblical. This is sociological. And I read a study in an article on, you know, what do you do, how do you behave when you go into a new business? And it was like six steps of things that you do. It follows this line of thinking. Connection comes after contribution. And purpose follows participation. So for us, love is the bridge between belonging and building. So here's the question. If love is our highest value, where is it moving through you? That's the question. Where is it moving through you in a practical way? This Mission in Motion Sunday, it's actually pretty simple. It took a lot of work and planning to do all of this, but at the end of the day, it's pretty simple. It's not do more or perform more. It is let love move through you. And I want to see what God will do through you. Each one of these tables are testimony generators. If the only testimony you have is something that God did 30 years ago, it's time to step back into the flow. Every table is an opportunity to generate a testimony which will actually be the very spirit of prophecy that will change the atmosphere around you as you speak of what God has done. If you love this house, help build it. If you've been welcomed here, welcome someone else. If you've been prayed for here, pray for someone else. If worship has strengthened you, help create that space for someone else. If community has carried you, join a home group and carry someone else. The list goes on. You don't have to join everything, but everyone can join something. Maybe 100% participation is like a high bar, but that's the bar. Do something. Sometimes people ask me, you know, when they come, they're like, well, how do I become a member? Well, you give. You serve, and you connect to a home group. That's it. There's no secret incantations or secret meetings, or it's being engaged. When I joined a club where I got to go, you know, shoot every day, it was pretty simple. Someone brought me in. You give. You participate. And if you don't participate, you end up paying more at the end of the year. How about we do that? If you don't serve, double the tithe. No, I'm just kidding. But see, you know, sometimes we want to apply things here that don't work in any other organization, any other group of people on the planet, but we come into the church environment and we just think, hey, everything's a free ride. Everywhere in Scripture where grace is given, responsibility is assumed. And so there's responsibility and love. But again, you don't have to do everything. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you not to do that because you're going to burn yourself out legitimately. But everyone can do something. Love moves. And when love moves, a church becomes irresistible. It becomes unshakable. It becomes unstoppable. And that's my kind of house. You know, Natick doesn't need another event. New England doesn't really need another conference, I don't think, maybe. Metro West doesn't need another production. It needs people whose love is visible, practical, but also powerful and supernatural. And so today, we move because love moves. Today, we put our mission into motion.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.